This is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio. Before we introduce our next guest, let's get some backstory on what he does and who he pays tribute to. Listen to this. But old man River, he just keeps rolling along. That is the unmistakable voice of Paul Robeson, a magnificent singer and actor and activist who died in 1976. His career effectively died long before him, largely because of his outspoken opposition to American segregation and support for communism in the Soviet Union. A one-man show of Paul Robeson's words, set to music and not, called Call Mr. Robeson, comes to Ashland this weekend. The one man in the one-man show is British performer Tayo Aluko, who visited with us 2 years ago when he first brought the show to town. Tayo, thanks for joining us once again on The Exchange.
Good morning. It's nice to be with you.
Yeah, good to have you back. You did not take up acting as a first career. Tell us how you came to be a performer.
I was working for myself as an architect back in 1995 in Liverpool, and I had always sung and acted as an amateur, and I sang one particular song one morning, a spiritual called My Lord, What a Morning. And the lady told me that I reminded her of Paul Robeson, and asked if I'd sang many of his songs. I think that was the first time I'd heard of him. But thanks to her just mentioning that name, some 2 months later, I stumbled on his biography, read it, and decided that that was a story that needed to be told. And 20-something years later, here I am telling it in Oregon.
You were angry, you told me, 2 years ago for Paul Robeson when you read that biography. What was it that made you angry for him?
Well, the treatment that he had suffered under his government for really trying to, you know, spread peace and brotherhood around the world, but instead being banned from traveling, having a career literally stopped, his earning capacity, you know, severely curtailed, and being branded anti-American. And also the fact that his story, which I think is an extremely inspiring one, had been literally buried from public consciousness, so much so that somebody like me, who was then, you know, supposedly a well-educated black man, had never heard of him. And yeah, I thought it was really grossly unfair, and I thought that it was, you know, like I said, a story that needed to be told, because I think it has a lot to teach us today. I thought so then, I think so even more right now.
So talk about the construction of the show. I mean, how long a process was this to go from reading the biography to getting this thing into a script form, ready to at least perform, or at least try to perform the first time?
Yes, when I first read the biography, the first thing I did was, you know, go looking for playwrights, because, as I said, I was an architect. I'd never written anything for theater before. And I did actually find two or three people to start writing things for me, but it never felt right to me. It never felt that it said the things that I thought needed to be said. I also read another play that had been written about Paul Robeson, and I thought that the story sort of touches people in different ways. And 10 years after I had read it, I decided I would try putting pen to paper myself, and had it started off with a 6-character play. It went up to 14 characters, and I did a reading in Manchester and in Birmingham in England. And when I was invited to a conference in California in 2007, I decided to read my 14-character play to the people that were assembled. And as I was doing that reading, trying to speak in 14 different voices, I realized that actually this might work as a one-person show. And then my director and dramaturg, the designer, and I sort of reworked it as a monodrama, which I then premiered at the Edinburgh Fringe in August 2007, 11 years ago, you know, about now. And it wasn't quite ready then, and it sort of went through a number of several more drafts and honed it quite a bit. And now I've been performing it in its current form for about 10 years.
The program is called Call Mr. Robeson. It is the work of Tayo Aluko. He is the author and the performer as an actor and a singer in this play about Paul Robeson. You can join the conversation on The Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Perhaps you have some memories of Paul Robeson you'd like to share with us. He was an amazing performer. He was such a riveting performer, such an eloquent speaker. I mean, you had lots of choices in what to include in the show. And was the original draft about 4 hours long or something?
Yes, it was. Like I said, there were many characters involved in the play, and it's now 1 hour 20 minutes without a break. I know of other people who've written plays about him, and they are longer with intermissions. But this one, I think, you know, I start and just go on and on for 85 minutes, and people say they are riveted, and at the end of it, they don't realize that even though I have told a story of, you know, spanning 75 years or so, that it's over in that length of time.
Tayo Aluko, what was it about the things that Paul Robeson said that made him such a lightning rod for criticism? I mean, was there any one thing above all others that really brought him down?
I think it culminated in a speech that he made in Paris in May 1949, where there was a conference, a World Peace Congress. And he wasn't even scheduled to be there, but he just felt that he needed to be there to promote world peace. And he made a speech in which he said partly, you know, when there was talk of going to war with the Soviet Union, that he thought that it was unthinkable for African Americans to fight against the Soviet Union. One country where he had personally experienced for the first time a reception as a man with a capital M, you know, coming from the United States, where he was definitely a second-class citizen despite his fame and success, that when he went to the Soviet Union, he saw not just he himself being treated with dignity and respect, but the minorities of the Soviet Union apparently being treated with the same equality. And he couldn't understand why people like him were being asked to go and fight against the Soviet Union when in his country they were second-class citizens. The kind of thing that Muhammad Ali would say in the 1960s or Dr. King would say. And when, after making that speech, you know, it was reported in the United States distorted. And by the time he got back, he had suddenly become, from being one of the most popular individuals in the country, he found himself being public enemy number one, anti-American, seeking to overthrow his government by force and so on. And he... You know, the next concert he was due to hold, an outdoor concert in Peekskill, upstate New York, was you know, prevented from happening by a riot just because of this speech that he made back in 1949, a few months earlier. And I think it's ironic for me to be performing in Portland the weekend after we've had some disturbances by white supremacists, you know, 60 years after Paul Robeson, because of the political climate that we find ourselves in today. Mm. And so I've thought, even when I first read the biography in 1995, that his story had a lot to teach us and that it was urgent for us to learn about him. And it's amazing that, you know, some 22 years later, 23 years later, his story is still relevant and even more urgent for us to hear today.
We have a clip that I'd like to play from Call Mr. Robeson, and this is you as Paul Robeson. Tayo Aluko is our guest on The Exchange. Tayo Aluko as Paul Robeson explaining why he, Paul Robeson, got so incensed at seeing a segregated audience at a performance in Kansas City. It's the clip called Paul Robeson KC.
Only the previous week, I had sung the ballad at the Hollywood Bowl with the biggest damn orchestra and chorus you can imagine. Man in white skin will never be free while his black brother is in slavery. 30,000 people cheering me to kingdom come. And you know what? That night at my hotel, they told me that I could not eat in the restaurant, that the guests would not approve. I had to eat upstairs in my room with Frida. Frida Diamond, a close friend.
Okay, that's probably a whole nother side story there. But this is Paul Robeson with fury. And at least one review I noticed, Tayo, spoke of you channeling the fury of Paul Robeson. How emotionally draining a show is this for you?
When I come off stage, I'm back to being Tayo. So during the show, I do feel Paul Robeson's anger, because I guess you know, the anger that I felt when I first read the biography, one is constantly reminded of it when you're performing the play, and constantly reminded of it by the kinds of things that you see going on in the United States and around the world. But it is unhealthy to carry that anger everywhere with you. And thankfully, I am Paul Robeson only when I'm on stage. I have heard of performers who carry their characters with them off stage. But yes, I do have the ability, thankfully, to just keep it for the performance and then have a conversation with the audience after the show about what he represents and how he speaks to us today and what we can all do to carry on his example, you know, to try to make the world a better place.
You talked about the fact that the issues that he talks about are still relevant. I mean, in fact, the world is a different place just since the last 2 years when we talked to you, especially on the subject of race. I mean, on stage, I wonder if you've made any additions or adjustments to the show since then.
No, I haven't. And one doesn't have to. The only difference is what I do for each performance, and that is to write a program note which puts Paul Robeson's life in context of what's going on today. So I speak to you from Portland, where I'm doing a performance tonight, and I have, you know, made the subject of the program note last weekend's white supremacist march. When I get to Ashland tomorrow, I'll check the news and see what the latest news is, and there will be a way of relating Paul Robeson to the news, but more crucially, to using him as inspiration to fight back against reactionary forces.
Well, and it's interesting that we're having this conversation on the eve of the anniversary of the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville a year ago, which the organizers, being barred from doing it again in Charlottesville, are attempting to hold again in Washington, D.C., the country's capital.
It's amazing. Only a few months after a huge rally against the gun laws and the shooting at the secondary school months ago, that was probably the biggest gathering in the nation's capital in history. Presumably, the fake news that suggested that the last presidential was the biggest, saw the biggest crowd in history. Maybe it will be reported in the same this weekend, but I think one cannot ignore such gatherings. One has to know that you know, these people exist, but that we as a people, the majority decent, peace-loving people, people who embrace diversity, who acknowledge the history of the United States of the world and the world and all, that we need to work together to just recognize each other's humanity and fight against, you know, forces of hate. And I think Paul Rubens' words and his music, you know, is a great example for us to follow.
So, Tayo, the statements of Paul Robeson detractors could well be encapsulated in a phrase we hear today, shut up and sing. And the fact that we have that phrase would seem to demonstrate that those feelings obviously still exist. What do you say to the people who say performers should just stick to performing?
Performers should just stick to performing or just stick to playing football. So shut up and dribble, I think, is a contemporary one. Exactly. I mean, LeBron James, I wrote about this last week. He is doing something like setting a school for marginalized children. You know, he's using his own fortune to do what he thinks is right. The people who are tasked with doing that on our behalf, you know, supposedly elected or selected, seem totally disinterested in doing that. And if people like LeBron James, Colin Kaepernick, following the footsteps of Paul Robeson, decide to use their platform to point out the ridiculousness, the terrible ways that our so-called leaders carry on, they fulfilling their God-given right to speak out and try and galvanize other people to action.
All right.
And so they must not shut up.
All right, Tayo Aluko, thank you so much for joining us today in the Jefferson Exchange. Best of luck with the performances this weekend in Ashland of Call Mr. Robeson.